This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And just like that, with a couple of swings of the bat, all is well in Padre land. Welcome into a very short edition of Gwen and Chris this afternoon, everybody. Chris Ello in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Matt Scraby still home, recuperating from his shoulder procedure a couple of days ago, but he joins us as well. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on a happy flight with the Padres, heading towards New York City, where the Padres will start a three-game series and road trip with the Mets on Friday. But Scraby, the last, well, let's see, about 10 o'clock last night, maybe 9 o'clock last night when Higashioka connected, 5 o'clock today. You're looking at a pretty good 20 hours for Padre baseball fans. Couple of exciting moments, thrills.
Yes, absolutely. Exciting moments, thrills, chills. Today sent me through the ringer, Chris, because
you didn't throw your arms up in your head in the air, did you? And
No, not today.
Worried about that.
No, you don't need to worry about that. My arm is hurting a little bit more today, so there was no cheering with my arms above my head. But I was writing a scathing review of Mike Schill with the Michael King decision until they ended up winning the game, because that's all that matters, Chris. And I know that I'm alone in this Michael King decision,
Are you talking about the quick hook for Michael King today?
The quick hook, yes. But yeah, we don't need to talk about that, because you know what? They won the game, and so we don't have to.
Yeah, winning covers up a lot of things, like Donovan Solano making an error in judgment as to whether or not going back to third base and allowing it to roll all the way out into left field so that the, Seth Brown for the A's ends up getting a run-scoring bunt to the shortstop. You don't see that very often. But, a lot of that stuff goes away when you win the ball game. And, the Padres get a little magic here the last couple of nights. And, De Los Santos coughs up the home run last night in the eighth inning. And you're thinking, the only reason that happened last night is because Estrada's out sick, couldn't pitch last night, wasn't available. And you're kind of down in the dumps already because Profar has limped off the field. And you're thinking, oh, no, this is disaster. And, just like that, my friend John, I was at the ball game last night, Scrabe, and had a great night.
Yeah?
And my buddy John Campbell turned to me when Higashioka came up last night. And he looked up at the scoreboard and he goes, oh, my God, this guy's hitting like 175. Can we just get him out of the way and get the next guy up?
Oh,
that's what he wasn't being mean. He was just trying to – he's a good baseball fan, but he doesn't follow the ins and outs of Kyle Higashioka, and he's looking at the batting average and he's thinking, this isn't going anywhere. And I turned to him and I said, I don't know. Higashioka, when he gets a hold of one, he can hit home runs. I said, that's pretty much what he does. It's either that or nothing. And honestly, the words were barely out of my mouth when he hit the ball down the line for the game-winning home run. So kudos to Higashioka for making me look good there and winning that ball game last night. And you're right, the game, Michael King pitched a stellar game today, 12 strikeouts. I know the hero is Jackson Merrill, and he deserves to be the hero. I mean, two home runs. He is the first player, he is the youngest player in the last 50 years to hit two home runs in a game and have the second one be a walk-off. He's the youngest guy to do it. It's been updated.
Now it's all time.
They updated the stats. So, it's a great night for a great, day and night for Jackson Merrill. And the thing I love about this guy, he didn't get too excited about it. I mean, certainly feels great. I mean, he's a gamer. He's a competitor. He wants to win. But I've noticed this about him, Scraby. He doesn't get too high and too low. And that's something that, you know, veteran players take years and years to learn. And, you know, this guy's beyond his years a little bit. And, I just is so excited for him. And Donovan Solano has been a, you know, you can say everything you want about A.J. Preller, and I know many of you do. But the acquisition of Donovan Solano has turned out to be a huge boost to this team. Where would they be considering the injuries and the issues with Manny Machado at third base? They've got Solano. He plays third. He's been hitting lefties. He's about the only guy that hitting lefties the whole season. And now he's hitting so well, he's even hitting right-handers. And, you know, that was those were two 100-mile-per-hour pitchers that the A's brought into that game today. Urseg in the eighth inning throws over a hundo. And we know that Mason Miller, the youngster, he throws over a hundo in the ninth inning. But, you know, Solano takes one out. And Jackson Merrill did not hit a fastball out. He hit a breaking ball, and it was down and in. And I've seen it a million times. You have too. But you go down and in on a lefty, that is a sweet spot. And you drop the head of the bat, and you make sweet contact, and it goes down the line to that Petco porch, and that's ball game. And, you know, so it's exciting. And with two swings of the bat, the Padres accomplished a whole bunch of things. Number one, they swept a homestand. We can finally get that out of our head now. That is our swept, a series, right? So that's finally done. We've swept the series. I don't want to hear that complaint anymore.
Thank goodness.
Right? We beat back-to-back left-handed starting pitchers. Now, granted, neither left-hander was in the game in the bottom of the ninth inning the last 2 days, but nevertheless, the Padres have stunk whenever a left-handed pitcher's on the mound. They got one last night. They won the game. Same today. They won the game. And the other thing is they've been playing so terrible at home all year long, they finally finished with a 5-2 homestand. So a lot of those, you know, bugaboos, things that have been kind of driving this team crazy all year, go out the window with two swings of the bat. And, you know, it was really exciting the last night to be at the ball game. That's the second game in a row, by the way, Scraby, that I've stayed to the very end. I don't know what's gotten into me, but I was there for, you know, I didn't leave early last night. I saw Higashioka's home run, and it was great. So
he loves that corner, too, of the Western Metal Building, which is fine. You can hit all the home runs you want over there.
They all count.
As long as they're hitting over there, they're going over the fence.
They all count. They all do. And, the Padres go a couple of games over 500. They get a little breathing room in the wild card race. I mean, there's still seven teams chasing them, and, you know, there's no time to take a deep breath. But at least for now, the Padres, all is good, and, you know, it's exciting to win this ball game. And, you know, I thought that, you know, Solano and Merrill are going to get all the headlines and the 18 strikeouts, and Suarez gets back-to-back wins, and he continues to be. You know, I wasn't sure they were going to use Suarez today.
Me neither. Third
day in a row. But Mike Shildt, you know, obviously, you know, Ruben Niebla, I'm sure they, you know, talked with him, and he probably said, as he usually seems to, right, Matt? He says, I'm available. Just if you need me, put me in the ball game. And he goes in the ball game, and I didn't think he was great today. It took him 19 pitches, only 10 of which were strikes, to get out of that ninth inning. And Peralta made a hell of a great catch to save him on that one.
He did.
But,
he did.
You know, again, Suarez gets it done and is in position to pick up the win. But, you know, having said all of that, and we said a lot, none of those guys that we talked about was the hero of the game today.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Oh, I think I do. You got to know where I'm going. The hero of this game, Scraby, was... Go ahead.
Steven Kolek.
No doubt. The game is over if Kolek comes in there with the bases loaded and nobody out and gives up three or four more runs. That's ball game. Yep. The A's already led 3-2. They got the bases loaded. They got nobody out. Now, I grant you, he faced the 8-9 hitters, but he struck them both out. Those are big pitches that he made, and he had a really good sink to that fastball going down and into those two right-handed hitters. No chance for either Geloff or Schumann. They both struck out. And then, you know, Zokar made a really nice running catch on the fly ball by Toro. But
yes, he did.
Look, Kolek has taken a pasting from the Padre fans all year. And you know what? when you're kind of the 13th guy in a 13-man staff, you're probably the guy that's going to give up the most runs, and you're probably the guy that's going to get the wrath of people. But for one day, let's really appreciate what he did, because they do not win that game without him, Scrabe.
They absolutely don't win this game without him. I was looking at his like game log or his batter log, and he threw like 10 straight sinkers to those two guys.
Yeah.
And I gotta, you know, the last time, well, not the last time we saw him, but the last time I really remember seeing him was that Friday night in Kansas City where he almost gave up the 11-3 lead. And we all wrote him off then. And we all thought, all right, he's just going to be a guy. He's a mop-up guy now. We're just going to see him in the games where there's not much high leverage stuff going on. But today, no outs, bases loaded. Like, come on. That was some major league pitching right there.
Yeah, great job by Kolek. And, you know, I'm going to remind people of that the next time they're, you know, ripping this guy, because he really came through today. And I know what was going through a lot of your minds out there when he came into the game. And that
went through my mind.
Yeah, what went through everybody's mind was, oh, I guess we're passing on this game. I guess we're just
punting.
Punting on this game. And Kolek said, no, we're not punting on this game. I'm getting out of this inning. He did, and that set the stage for the comeback. So great day for the Padres. They beat the A's 5-4 on the walk-off home run by Jackson Merrill. And they set sail now for New York and Philadelphia. Pretty good, tough road trip coming up for the Friars, but they got a day to relax ahead of that. We are as we are often on day basis. Baseball games. We are just simply the pregame show for the Scraby Chronicles, which gets underway at 6 o'clock. Matt Scraby will be have it all to himself at the top of the hour.
Yes, I will.
But before we get to that, a couple of more things I wanted to talk about the Padres when we come back, and we have to touch on this show on the life and times of the great Jerry West. I can't tell you how sad that made me today and millions of basketball fans all over the world. I thought the best line was a tweet by Arash Markazi, who's an L.A. reporter, I believe.
Yeah.
And he said, there are legends, and then there's Jerry West. And I think that says it. I mean, this guy... you can't even go on and on about the game of basketball without Jerry. So we'll talk a little bit about him as well. Glad you're with us. A short get-together. Chris Ella, Mr. Scraby, Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First one to Solano, swung on, sent in the air to left center field and deep. Cameron back into the gap. He's on the warning track at the wall. Leaps up. Did he make the catch? It's a home run. Donovan Solano's second of the day is tied it up. 4-4 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Big clap as he rounds third. Big pat on the back from Tim Leeper. He'll head home, and we're all tied up.
I'll tell you what, the Padres are becoming the San Diego Lumber Company all of a sudden with all of these home runs the last few
Dixie
games.
Dixie line.
I believe, yeah, right, there you go. They have homered in 10 consecutive games at home now. And, you know, that answers one of your complaints, Scraby, because you've been talking all season, why can't the Padres ever hit a home run at home? Everybody else seems to.
Yeah.
Well, now they've homered in 10 consecutive home games, which is only two short of the Angels for the longest streak in baseball this season. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, Crisello, Mr. Scraby, and Adam Klug is alongside. Now, I want to get into this. There's something I want to get into with the Padres, but I'm going to hold off on it for just a sec because we only have a minute or two left before this segment. So don't go anywhere because there's something I want to throw out there to everybody. But before we get to that, do you know what this sweep means, Scraby? Among other things, but do you know what this means?
It means they won three in a row over a team.
Well, it does. It means that. It definitely means that they've won three in a row. It definitely means everybody can leave us alone about that.
Yes, please.
But here's what it also means. Our program director, Adam Klug,
yes. yes.
is going to have to make good on a promise that he made to Ben and Woods. And I'm going to let him explain, because he explained it to me earlier, and I was like, oh, man, you're in deep trouble on this one. So it has something to do with jelly beans, jelly bellies. Do they call them nuts still?
So they have this game in here. It's called Bean Boozled.
Okay.
It's a
Bean Boozled.
It's a tin can with a wheel that you spin.
Okay.
It's quite popular.
The tin can is filled with a bunch of jelly beans, red, blue, brown, orange, whatever. But the red could be one of each color could be one of two flavors, either a delicious flavor or an absolutely terrible flavor. You have no idea.
I see. And give us an example. Like what orange? What are the choices
it's like
for
strawberry
orange?
Strawberry banana smoothie or dead fish?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you eat
it's like used Band-Aid is one of them. I think.
Right.
Which
there's
is so
there's,
gross.
There's no way of knowing because you're just holding
you
a
just
jelly
a
bean in your
out,
hand.
Let's say.
Right. You pick one out, hold it up there, Adam, and so those on YouTube can see
on.
That's the jelly bean. Oh, he's going to get the game. All right. So you spin the. You spin the dial that says you get a red jelly bean. So then you reach in, you get a red one. But you don't know if you got the tasty red one or you got the awful red one.
You don't know until you eat it.
You don't know until you eat it.
So they've used this game for a while now kind of as a punishment if someone messes something up or whatever. And
they'll
dole them out. And I've eaten a couple of them. But I think Woodsy, about a month ago, ate a handful of them. And I've eaten one or two. And people said, what will it take for you, Adam? And so I said, if the Padres sweep the Angels... I will eat a handful, and then we all know what happened in that series.
So it's extended on
you. And people were disappointed that I didn't get... So I said, you know what? The next time they sweep anybody,
right.
I'll eat a handful.
Anybody.
See, this is where he made the Matt Scraby mistake.
Yes,
of
he did.
Getting out of the mess that you got yourself into, and then... conveniently putting yourself right back into the mess
with Adam. You were home free, Adam. Look, all you had to do is get out of there now.
Guys,
tomorrow they are going to make you eat a handful of these things, and there is no way you're going to get lucky on every jelly bean. You're going to get some awful tasting stuff tomorrow.
I'm a man of the people. I'm not trying to get
it. That's nice of you. Do we know what time?
I'm looking forward, yes.
I want to make our listeners happy.
Yes.
They will be happy if I do this. Therefore, I will do it.
All right. Do we know what time this will take place some point in the morning show tomorrow?
Yeah, it'll probably be sometime between 8 and 8:30, I'd imagine.
About 8 and 8:30 tomorrow.
Ooh, I'm going to be tuned in.
Yes. Make sure that I'm going to come early for the round table tomorrow.
The first time they made me eat it, I spun the wheel and I got the yellow, which is either buttered popcorn or rotten egg. And I picked one and it was buttered popcorn. I was like, oh, this game is easy.
Ah,
well, yeah, okay.
But taking a handful is not going
to
be very
I played good. These games before, and it used to be with Harry Potter jelly beans back in the day.
Okay.
They were gross. Like, yeah. I almost threw up eating one of them.
Purple is pomegranate or old bandage.
Well, we've
it's so gross!
Bandage.
A white polka dotted one that's birthday cake or dirty dishwater.
Yeah.
And there's an orange one that's either peach or barf.
Ew! Why?
There's
peach or barf?
Let me just run through some of the nasty flavors. Stinky socks, liver and onions, stink bug, rotten egg, boogers, dead fish, toothpaste, dirty dishwater, barf, an old bandage.
Well, hopefully
so
you get hopefully you get toothpaste. That doesn't sound too awful.
I got the toothpaste one last time, and it wasn't bad. And honestly,
that would be the
one.
Best of the worst.
It wasn't bad.
It's kind of mint.
And
a little bit minty.
That would be the best of the worst. I guarantee. Also, tell you, my late mother would say that the liver and onion one is just fine. What are you concerned about with it? She used to serve me that all the time when I was a little kid.
Really? I didn't think that was an actual thing.
Yes, it was. And all I have to say about that is, liver and onion was not good.
I'm tuning in tomorrow between 8 and 8:30 because I want to see this happen.
Well, we have the round table at 10 o'clock tomorrow for you Padre fans that want to get more Padres stuff. We'll all be on tomorrow talking Padres from 10 to 11. I may come in a little early tomorrow just so I can witness the jelly bean challenge.
But guys, you guys know I've got the iron stomach from the Thai 10 challenge. So hoping
this is true.
That's right, because you did the Thai 10, Scraby, and you got through it pretty well, but Adam came in and just aced it. Like, he had no problem with it at all. So
he has no taste buds. That's why he's doing this. I'm convinced he has no.
We will see.
And stop flexing into the camera.
We will see how he does
tomorrow
morning.
Hold on, Chris, real quick. This hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, Scraby, well done. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I got something I want to throw out there on the Padres. It's good. I think it's good. We'll see if you agree when Gwen and Chris continues. All right, welcome back. 5:39 is the time. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on a happy flight to New York with the Padres, who finished off their sweep. Finally got one. Walk-off home run by Jackson Merrill got the job done. 5-4 comeback victory over the Oakland A's today. Donovan Solano hit a two-run homer to tie the game in the eighth inning. Both Solano and Merrill hit two home runs today. Michael King struck out 12 over five innings before he was given a quick hook in the sixth inning. You know, Scraby, you were talking about that earlier, and, you know, I probably would have stayed with Michael King, at least for one more batter there. Gave up a base hit, gave up a ground ball that turned into a base hit. And, you know, but it's the analytics that get you. You know, he's at 98 pitches. Got to get him out. That's not really Mike Shildt. That's baseball now, and you know, we also don't know what might have been said between innings. Maybe Michael King said, hey, I got just a little left in the tank. He threw,
true.
You know, when you strike out 12 in five innings, you exert a lot of energy. So, I don't want to be critical of it, but I agree with you. I'd like to see pitchers, you know, be able to pitch. And especially when you're having a dominating day like that. But, you know, Wandy Peralta came in and, I don't know that. You know, he didn't have his best stuff. He gave up a couple of, you know, gave up a base hit. Then he gave up a bunt for a, you know, run scored. I can't blame him for that. But, you know, Stephen Kolek saved the day, got out of the bases loaded, jam with nobody out, kept the Padres in the game. And the Padres eventually came back to get the victory. Scott,
do you get the same? Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
do you get the same dread kind of when Wandy Peralta is coming into a game? Because
I don't.
Okay, because
he struggled a little bit
log.
Lately. He struggled,
A little bit is the right word for this, because I was looking at his game log. I was all mad at Wandy Peralta earlier for letting the game go, but he didn't give up a run in May, in the entire month of May, which is pretty incredible. So
this is pretty normal.
I should follow what Mike Shildt.
It's pretty normal for a reliever. I mean, these guys, except for somebody like Trevor or Mariano or one of these guys that just pitch lights out every time. I mean, relievers go through little stretches. Don't forget in April, Wandy was your eighth inning guy. He set up Robert Suarez. Yeah. Now he's kind of middle of the pack.
Good point.
You know what? In late in August, September, he might go back to being the eighth inning guy. I think Peralta's that good. He's been struggling, scuffling, as they say.
Scuffling.
Of late. All right, let me get Scott in here real quick, and then I want to share something with all of you on the Padres. Scott, thanks for calling, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you all for taking the call. So I wanted to talk on Kolek. He had an awesome, awesome day, and we definitely needed him. And a lot of people have been dunking on that dude a lot lately, and myself a little bit unfairly. But in that 11-3 game where he goes in there to, take care of things, you got to remember there was one out. Ha-Seong Kim has a chance to convert a double play. He throws a wild-ass pitch where, Arise has to, jump to get it. They don't get that third out, so it's not a double play. If that happens, he only gives up one run, and the Padres win 11-4.
Yeah, so, look, Kolek is the thing that I said earlier, Scott.
You're a good dude.
Kolek is your guy for, mostly he's their 13th guy on a 13-man staff. Somebody has to be. And for now, that's him. But you look at through his season, he's given up more than one run in an appearance three times. All right? That's it. So he's had three, quote, bad outings. That's not too bad for your 13th guy. Those three bad outings are what has ballooned his ERA up to 5.76. But, you know, he's come through for us here the last couple of times out. And he really came up big, obviously, today. So I was just happy for him. I mean, and you were right, Scott. You said he has taken, I mean, we've heaped it all on this guy. Every time he gives up three or four runs and a game gets away. But I just try to remind people, you got a 13th guy on the staff, and that 13th guy has to pitch sometimes. You can't use the same guys every night. And so, you know, hopefully this gives him a big boost of confidence moving forward. So.
Well, and I would say, like, with that ERA, though, his ERA would be at least one run less if Ha-Seong Kim makes that double
play.
Yeah,
but you know what? I know what you're saying.
Love says he can.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but you know what? Take a look at the play David Peralta made today to save Robert Suarez.
He did get those. Yeah.
So, you know, defense gives and defense takes away. And if a play's not made behind you, to me, it's up to the pitcher to cover and get those guys out. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. But, yeah, great day for Kolek today, getting out of that bases-loaded jam and really, you know, giving this team a chance to win. Because those runs score, we said it earlier, Scrabe, that's ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Game is over. A's win
totally.
The game. We get on a flight to New York, and we try to sweep the next series. Let's check some traffic real quick for everybody, and then I'm going to share you this quick thought.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. Still a few trouble spots here. One of them is this crash on southbound 5 right before Sassafras. It may be in the clearing stage. Going to find on the southbound 805 near Governor. Collision involving a couple vehicles. They're over to the right shoulder. Opening day at the San Diego County Fair. That coastline is feeling it, especially on the northbound side. Through the merge on up toward the fairgrounds. Actually, getting pretty good after that. And the southbound lanes are in pretty good shape. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a collision has cleared in the North County. Eastbound 78, Twin Oaks Valley Road. We're still seeing some residual slowing there. And you're still going to find El Camino Real closed in both directions between Poinsettia and Aviara Parkway, all due to a water main break. Skip the fried food when visiting the San Diego Fair this year and grab some healthy, fresh catch at the Fish Market. So good. The Fish Market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds and downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danik with Glenn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, here was a tweet that I read last night, Scrabe. I'm going to read it to you. Ready?
I am ready.
The tweet went like this. Vasquez, who threw the first pitch of tonight's game, and Higashioka, who hit the last pitch thrown for a game-winning homer, were both acquired by the Padres from the Yankees for Juan Soto, who, wait for it, never did hit a walk-off home run for the Padres. That tweet was put out by me.
I even commented saying, you are starting to get the hang of this X-posting thing.
Yeah, I got a lot of likes for that, and I don't know what I got the likes for. If they were just happy because Higashioka hit the home run, or the shame that I'm trying to cast upon Juan Soto.
No, I said the shade, yes. The shade
that I'm trying to cast on Juan Soto for never having hit a walk-off home run. Here's really what I was trying to say in that tweet, and you could look at it any way you wanted to. What I'm trying to point out is that the trade that the Padres made with the Yankees is looking a little better here lately. It really is. I mean, Higashioka was, you know, nothing for the first two months of the season. All of a sudden,
people gave you credit because you were on top of him for he needed to do more.
I got on
his
case.
And then all of a sudden you tell him he needs to do more. And guess what happens, Chris?
Yeah.
He starts doing more.
Yeah, I got on his case a little bit a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, Higashioka's starting to contribute. Obviously, Vasquez is starting to contribute now, right? His last four starts have all been really good in a fill-in role. Michael King, with his 12 strikeouts today, now is number 6 in baseball in strikeouts with 95. So he has done a hell of a good job. Thorpe, who was acquired in the trade, also helped them get Luis Arraez. Johnny Brito, maybe you say he's been a bit of a disappointment, but he's still on this staff. He's still chewing up innings.
Yep.
The point of this is that trade for Juan Soto is looking better and better. What say you about that?
I agree with you. I mean, you can't look at Michael King and see what he's done over the past maybe five or six starts and say that he hasn't paid off for the Padres in a big way. And like you said, the rest of the guys, those guys are all, we said it when they made the trade. Those guys are all going to have to come together and play well for this trade to be a success. And even though Juan Soto's doing what he is, we're getting like four or five guys doing good things, and Juan Soto's only one guy. So I love this trade.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, hey, look, it's not a trade I don't know that any Padre fan will ever love. I mean, we had to trade one of the best players in baseball, and he is having an MVP season in New York. So, you know, it's hard to part with that. But when you understand why the trade was made, and that was because they had to get payroll under control. They had to get themselves under the luxury tax, and we've talked about this, you know, over and over again. So if you had to trade him, you know, I think they've done okay, at least right now with what they got in return. And it's just nice to see, you know, these guys all contributing. So,
and to think about too that these guys are going to be on the team. And I often forget that Wandy Peralta did not come over in the trade. He was actually,
right,
I believe, a free
separate
agent signing.
Yeah, separate deal.
But you have to think that these guys are going far longer than Juan Soto will for the Yankees, because the Yankees have to, A, re-sign him, and they're going to have to pay him $600 million plus. These guys aren't going to cost that money, and the Yankees, even though they're getting this good Juan Soto, I mean, they've kind of set themselves up for a little bit of heartache here in the years to come, I think.
We will see how it all turns out, but what's happened lately makes everybody feel a little bit better about that. All right, I got about 5 minutes left. I got to devote it to Jerry West, who passed today at the age of 86. I'll give you three names. Here are the names: Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor. They're the only retired NBA players who averaged more points per game than Jerry West did. And that is only scratching the surface of what Jerry West was able to do. He was all NBA, and he was all defense, and he was an NBA champion, and he was a coach, and he was a great general manager. And all right, welcome back. 5:39 is the time. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on a happy flight to New York with the Padres, who finished off their sweep. Finally got one. Walk-off home run by Jackson Merrill got the job done. 5-4 comeback victory over the Oakland A's today. Donovan Solano hit a two-run homer to tie the game in the eighth inning. Both Solano and Merrill hit two home runs today. Michael King struck out 12 over five innings before he was given a quick hook in the sixth inning. You know, Scraby, you were talking about that earlier, and, you know, I probably would have stayed with Michael King, at least for one more batter there. Gave up a base hit, gave up a ground ball that turned into a base hit. And, you know, but it's the analytics that get you. You know, he's at 98 pitches, got to get him out. That's not really Mike Shildt. That's baseball now, and you know, we also don't know what might have been said between innings. Maybe Michael King said, hey, I got just a little left in the tank. He threw,
true,
you know, when you strike out 12 in five innings, you exert a lot of energy. So,
yeah,
I don't want to be critical of it, but I agree with you. I'd like to see pitchers, you know, be able to pitch, and especially when you're having a dominating day like that. But, you know, Wandy Peralta came in, and, yeah, I don't know that, you know, he didn't have his best stuff. He gave up a couple of, you know, gave up a base hit, then he gave up a bunt for, you know, run scored. I can't blame him for that. But, you know, Stephen Kolek saved the day, got out of the bases loaded jam with nobody out, kept the Padres in the game, and the Padres eventually came back to get the victory. Scott,
do you get the same? Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
do you
fine.
Get the same dread kind of when Wandy Peralta is coming into a game? Because
I don't.
Okay, because I
struggled a little bit
log
lately. He struggled,
A little bit is the right word for this, because I was looking at his game log. I was all mad at Wandy Peralta earlier for letting the game go, but he didn't give up a run in May, in the entire month of May, which is pretty incredible. So
yeah, this is pretty
I guess
normal.
I should follow what Mike Shildt.
It's pretty normal for a reliever. I mean, these guys, except for, you know, somebody like a Trevor or a, you know, Mariano or one of these guys that just pitch lights out every time. I mean, you know, relievers go through little stretches. You know, don't forget in April, Wandy was your eighth inning guy. He set up Robert Suarez. Yeah. Now he's kind of middle of the pack.
Good point.
You know what? In late in August, September, he might go back to being the eighth inning guy. I think Peralta's that good. He's just been scuffling, as they say, of late. All right, let me get Scott in here real quick, and then I want to share something with all of you on the Padres. Scott, thanks for calling, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you all for taking the call. Hey, so I wanted to talk on Kolek. He had an awesome, awesome day, and we definitely needed him. And a lot of people have been dunking on that dude a lot lately, and myself a little bit unfairly. But in that 11-3 game where he goes in there to, you know, take care of things, you got to remember there was one out. Ha-Seong Kim has a chance to convert a double play. He throws a wild-ass pitch where, you know, Arise has to, you know, jump to get it. They don't get that third out, so it's not a double play. If that happens, he only gives up one run, and the Padres win 11-4.
Yeah, so, look, Kolek is your, you know, the thing that I said earlier, Scott.
You're a good dude.
Kolek is your guy for, you know, mostly, he's their 13th guy on a 13-man staff. Somebody has to be. And for now, that's him. You know, but you look at through his season, he's given up more than one run in an appearance three times. All right? That's it. So he's had three, quote, bad outings. That's not too bad for your 13th guy. Those three bad outings are what has ballooned his ERA up to 5.76. But, you know, he's come through for us here the last couple of times out. And he really came up big, obviously, today. So I was just happy for him. I mean, and you were right, Scott. You said he has taken, I mean, we've heaped it all on this guy. Every time he gives up three or four runs and a game gets away. But I just try to remind people, you got a 13th guy on the staff, and that 13th guy has to pitch sometimes. You can't use the same guys every night. And so, you know, hopefully this gives him a big boost of confidence moving forward. So,
well, and I would say, like, with that ERA, though, his ERA would be at least one run less if Ha-Seong Kim makes that double
play.
Yeah,
but you know what? I'm not. I know what you're saying.
Says he can.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But you know what? But take a look at the play David Peralta made today to save Robert Suarez.
He did get those.
So you know, defense gives and defense takes away. And if a play's not made behind you, to me, it's up to the pitcher to cover and get those guys out. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. But yeah, great day for Kolek today, getting out of that bases loaded jam and really, you know, giving this team a chance to win. Because those runs score, we said it earlier, Scrabe, that's ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Game
is
over. A's win the game. We get on a flight to New York, and we try to sweep the next series. Let's check some traffic real quick for everybody, and then I'm going to share you this quick thought.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. Still a few trouble spots here. One of them is this crash on Southbound 5 right before Sassafras. It may be in the clearing stage. Going to find on the Southbound 805 near Governor. Collision involving a couple vehicles. They're over to the right shoulder. Opening day at the San Diego County Fair. That coastline is feeling it, especially on the northbound side. Through the merge on up toward the fairgrounds. Actually, getting pretty good after that. And the southbound lanes are in pretty good shape. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a collision has cleared in the North County. Eastbound 78, Twin Oaks Valley Road. We're still seeing some residual slowing there. And you're still going to find El Camino Real closed in both directions between Poinsettia and Aviara Parkway, all due to a water main break. Skip the fried food when visiting the San Diego Fair this year and grab some healthy, fresh catch at the fish market. So good. The fish market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds and downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, here was a tweet that I read last night, Scrabe. I'm going to read it to you. Ready?
I am ready.
The tweet went like this. Vasquez who threw the first pitch of tonight's game, and Higashioka, who hit the last pitch thrown for a game-winning homer, were both acquired by the Padres from the Yankees for Juan Soto, who, wait for it, never did hit a walk-off home run for the Padres. That tweet was put out by me.
I even commented saying, you are starting to get the hang of this X-posting thing.
Yeah, I got a lot of likes for that, and I don't know what I got the likes for. If they were just happy because Higashioka hit the home run, or the shame that I'm trying to cast upon Juan Soto.
No, I said the shade, yes. The shade.
Or the shade or shame that I'm trying to cast on Juan Soto for never having hit a walk-off home run. Here's really what I was trying to say in that tweet, and you could, you know, you could look at it any way you wanted to. What I'm trying to point out is that the trade that the Padres made with the Yankees is looking a little better here lately. It really is. I mean, Higashioka was, you know, nothing for the first two months of the season. All of a sudden,
people gave you credit because you were on top of him for he needed to do more.
I got on
his
case.
And then all of a sudden you tell him he needs to do more. And guess what happens, Chris? Yeah. He starts doing more.
Yeah, I got on his case a little bit a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, Higashioka's starting to contribute. Obviously, Vasquez is starting to contribute now, right? His last four starts have all been really good in a fill-in role. Michael King, with his 12 strikeouts today, now is number six in baseball in strikeouts with 95. So he has done a hell of a good job. Thorpe, who was acquired in the trade, also helped them get Luis Arraez. Johnny Brito, maybe you say he's been a bit of a disappointment, but he's still on this staff. He's still chewing up innings.
Yep.
The point of this is that trade for Juan Soto is looking better and better. What say you about that?
I agree with you. I mean, you can't look at Michael King and see what he's done over the past maybe five or six starts and say that he hasn't paid off for the Padres in a big way. And like you said, the rest of the guys, those guys are all, we said it when they made the trade. Those guys are all going to have to come together and play well for this trade to be a success. And even though Juan Soto's doing what he is, we're getting like four or five guys doing good things, and Juan Soto's only one guy. So I love this trade.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, hey, look, it's not a trade I don't know that any Padre fan will ever love. I mean, we had to trade one of the best players in baseball, and he is having an MVP season in New York. So, you know, it's hard to part with that. But when you understand why the trade was made, and that was because they had to get payroll under control. They had to get themselves under the luxury tax, and we've talked about this, you know, over and over again. So if you had to trade him, you know, I think they've done okay, at least right now with what they got in return. And it's just nice to see, you know, these guys all contributing. So,
and to think about too that these guys are going to be on the team. And I often forget that Wandy Peralta did not come over in the trade. He was actually, right, I believe, a free
agent
signing.
Yeah, separate deal.
But you have to think that these guys are going far longer than Juan Soto will for the Yankees, because the Yankees have to, A, re-sign him, and they're going to have to pay him $600 million plus. These guys aren't going to cost that money, and the Yankees, even though they're getting this good Juan Soto, I mean, they've kind of set themselves up for a little bit of heartache here in the years to come, I think.
We will see how it all turns out, but what's happened lately makes everybody feel a little bit better about that. All right, I got about 5 minutes left. I got to devote it to Jerry West, who passed today at the age of 86. I'll give you three names. Here are the names: Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor. They're the only retired NBA players who averaged more points per game than Jerry West did. And that is only scratching the surface of what Jerry West was able to do. He was all NBA, and he was all defense, and he was an NBA champion, and he was a coach, and he was a great general manager, and he's also the logo for the league. All right, so you know, there isn't a whole lot that Jerry West didn't accomplished to get himself to legendary and beyond status. His career started, you know, even before I can recall, Scrabe, all right? You know, 1961. But
wow,
when I was a little kid and I was 9 and 10 years old and I was first getting into sports and I was growing up in L.A. and I was watching the Lakers and didn't know anything, Jerry West was the guy. He was Mr. Perfect, Mr. Clutch, Mr. You know, every time he needed a play made, he made it, offense or defense. This guy never won the NBA's MVP award. He never did. But 8 times he finished in the top 5. 5 times he finished 2nd in the MVP award. I mean, you think about this. I mean, he was 1 vote or 2 away from maybe being a 6 or 7 time MVP. He was all defense. He made the All-Star team 14 times in 14 years, mind you. And, you know, you never saw a better competitor than Jerry West and a classier guy than Jerry West. And I put it among my real positive and, you know, just grateful parts of my career as a journalist to be able to have covered the Laker team for 2 years back at the end of the 1980s and 1990s when Jerry West was the general manager. And I got to hang out and sit in his office a couple of times and just talk basketball with him and work on some stories that I was doing and just exchange conversation with Jerry West. You talk about sitting in the presence of greatness, Graby. That was it. Let me tell you something. That was, you almost had to walk out of that meeting and just kind of go into the side and shake yourself for a second and go, man, did I just really hang out with Jerry West for 5 minutes? It was that kind of feeling, but he didn't make you feel that way. You know, he was just the normal guy. And the story I tweeted today and that I've always told is that Jerry West was so competitive when he was general manager, and remember, he had the Showtime Lakers. This is one of the greatest teams in NBA history, if not the greatest. When the game would get tense in the second half, Jerry West would get up from his seat. He did not sit in the owner's box or any glassed-off building. He sat right there in the stands. He would get up. He would walk out of the forum and go out into the parking lot and try to relax with a cigarette. Now, that may kind of ruin a few people's impression of Jerry West. But remember, back in the day, you know, smoking was a little more accepted. But
yes,
I don't know that he was a, you know, pack-a-day guy. He was just trying to relax. But he couldn't watch. That's how competitive he was.
Let me read a quick tweet for you guys. Obviously, he was one of the greatest players of all time, but also one of the greatest executives of all time, from Paul Hembakidis, statistician for ESPN. On July 11th, 1996, Jerry West traded Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant. 7 days later, on July 18th, Jerry West signed Shaq as a free agent, perhaps the greatest week any sports executive has ever had.
I would say that's pretty right, Adam.
He
told Shaquille O'Neal when he signed him, he said, "You're going to want to come here because I just traded for one of the greatest players you're ever going to see in the history of the league." And that was Kobe. All right, Scraby takes over with the Chronicles next. Don't forget, Roundtable tomorrow morning, all Padre talk from 10 to 11, commercial-free. Adam Klug eats jelly beans from 8 to 8:30 on the morning show. It's going to be a huge day. Padres win.
Woo-hoo!
Stay tuned for Scraby next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.